This is it's actually 6C, but it would be the eighth segment, because this is we're going to complete the book of Judges. And I talked to somebody yesterday who I sent them this, and they were just thrilled with the Ruth thing. That's been getting the most read outside of this area has been on Ruth, of the ones I've sent out to a lot of people. But anyway, this is called The Rest of the Story, which deals with the ending of the book of Judges. So the next two chapters in Judges will give a spiritual insight into why the tribe of Dan is omitted in Revelation chapter 7. And we look at verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, or that were set apart. And there were sealed 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses. I get a kick out of that, because they say that this applies to them, but there's over a million of them, so you always have to ask them, are you sure you're one of the 144,000? What tribe are you? And of course, they've got the pet answers. Well, you know, not all of Israel are Israel. Well, really, you're not either, but you know, they're not all genuine. Well, how are you sure you're genuine? Anyway, they don't like coming to my house anymore. Anyway, so 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. So during the tribulation period, 144,000 of the children of Israel are sealed, which means they're set apart for God. And God names the tribes of Israel from which these sealed ones will come. In Revelation 7, verse 5 through 8, of the tribe of Judah, I have sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Then Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. So that's where each of them have 12,000. So while the 12 tribes here are named, including the tribe of Levi and the tribe of Joseph, note carefully that both the tribe of Dan and the tribe of Ephraim are omitted from the sealings. Why? Well, it starts with God's basic command: to have no other gods before me or in my face. This is God's bottom line requirement for his people. Deuteronomy 5, 6, and 7. Ed, if you could read that, please. Okay, Jerry, why don't you read it for us?
I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Literally, this means you should never set any other god before my face. I never want to see any other god before my face. Because remember, we'll see Christ face to face. So God is very image conscious. And then 8 through 10 now, Jerry.
Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God.
That means I'm an only God. I am the God. It's not that, you know, he has that characteristic. It's a figure of speech. But there's a lot behind it. I am the only God.
Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
Or those that do not obey me. You know, those. If you don't obey me, you really, you know, you hate me because you don't love me. It's the opposite of it. But those who don't obey me. And what does he do in the next verse?
And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
The worshiping of God and the rejection of idols, the total rejection of anything that can take the place of the true God, are the first two commandments that are set forth. We see that here in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Pete, if you could read Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, please.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
As we follow the tribe of Dan during the time of the judges, the tribe of Dan continuously defiled God's primary law prohibiting idolatrous worship. All the tribes of Israel served other gods at various times, but why is the tribe of Dan singled out and penalized so greatly by its omission in Revelation 7? Well, Judges 17 and 18 give the reason. The account begins with a man from the tribe of Ephraim and then spreads to the entire tribe of Dan. Judges 17, 1 to 4. Jack, if you could read those.
And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord.
Well, which Lord?
From my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Yet he, Micah, restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah.
Micah's dishonesty mixed with his mother's idolatry. What a great mother's son group this is. Micah's mother utilized her wealth to make idols. It was not the money that was evil, it was the utilization of it. She gave it to the founder to make a graven image or idol, which, when finished, was put in the house of Micah. Judges 17:5 says, And the man Micah had a house of gods. Come on down to Micah's house of gods. And he made an ephod, and he made a teraphim, and he consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. So Micah had a whole house of gods. So with the money his mother gave him, he made an ephod, which was to imitate Aaron's royal priestly line, and a teraphim, which is an idol that some thought possessed healing qualities or could give answers like the high priest Urim did. Then he consecrated one of his own sons as the priest. All of this was a flagrant affront to God's word. A person is without excuse that forges his own gods and consecrates his own priests to facilitate the worship of his own gods. All right, verses 6 and 7, Chris.
In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of
Bethlehem, Judah,
of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there.
The Levites were originally set aside to serve in the true house of God and to teach the people the truth of God's word, and to keep the doctrine and the purity of the believing of Israel. But the true house of God had been forsaken by the people at this time. Thus, there was no great, true, honest service to God. So this Levite started looking around for a job. Judges 17, verse 8, And the man, the Levite, departed out of the city. He left from Bethlehem, Judah. So many times they put the city and country together, and just Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. He was out looking for a job. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Where are you coming from? And he said, I'm a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah. And I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Well, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest. And I'll give you 10 shekels of silver by the year, suit of apparel, and food. So the Levite said, Hey, beats minimum wage. So he went in. The man should never have entered the house of Micah since he was a Levite, one consecrated or set apart to do the will of the true God. The Levites were dedicated to the service of Jehovah. He should not have had to be in the place where he had to accept any job offer. However, money did play a big role in his decision making. Verse 11, And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. Why didn't the Levite condemn the idolatry? Wasn't that what he was trained to do? He should have known the law. Because he himself had lost the fire of the truth of God and his word. He was no longer serving the true God, and his soul was for sale. Therefore, he went in and was content to dwell with the man and be treated as one of his sons. Verse 12, And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. That the Levite would allow himself to be consecrated to idolatry is quite remarkable. But he became the priest of Micah the Ephraimite and served in the house of idols. Verse 13. Then said Micah, Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. I just upped my paganism, my idolatry. I got a real Levite here. Micah had originally consecrated one of his own sons as a priest, but then along came a Levite who was properly schooled and with the right credentials. He brought his status as a priest into the house of Micah, which in Micah's mind legitimized his operation. Micah thought this Levite would elevate him into a true house of worship and that God would honor his scheme. Andrew, Judges 18:1, please.
In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel.
I think we're starting to see why. The tribe of Dan had an area of the promised land assigned to them like all the rest of the tribes of Israel. However, for whatever reason, they did not acquire full possession of theirs. In fact, the Philistines had wrestled away quite a bit of their inheritance. Instead of driving out the ungodly inhabitants, a portion of the tribe of Dan decided instead to find another remote area in which to settle in. Verse 2.
And the children of Dan sent of their families 5 men from their coasts, men of valor, from Zorah and from Eshtol, to spy out the land and search it. And said unto them, Go, search the land. Who, when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there.
Now, if these Danite spies had really loved God and stood for God, they would have punished the idolatrous priests and destroyed the graven idols in Micah's house, because that's what the law said to do. Instead, they expressed no emotions, either of surprise or of indignation, at a Levite daring to assume the priestly functions and at the existence of a rival establishment to that of Shiloh, the tabernacle was in Shiloh at this time. That was just north of Jerusalem. Instead, these spies began to acquaint themselves with the idols and the idolaters, and what a person associates with is going to affect him. Judges 18, verse 3, when they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man of the Levite. They didn't, either he had a certain dialect, or they had, gone to Levite school, they had played basketball or something, somehow they recognized that this person was not a person who was of that tribe. So they heard the voice of the young man, the Levite. They turned in thither and said unto him, "What? Who brought thee hither, and what makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here?" And he said unto them, "Thus and thus deals Micah with me, and he's hired me, and I'm his priest." And they said unto him, and they should have pulled out, their guns and shot him away, because, the idolatry. But they didn't. They said, "Well, ask counsel of those little idols, we pray thee, of God. Hey, let's find out what these little gods can do. Those pagan gods that were there for worshiping, that we may know whether our way which we go will be prosperous." And the priest, the Levite, said unto them, "Go in peace. Before the Lord is your way wherein you go." Kind of generic, isn't it? Kind of sounds like a fortune cookie. go in peace. The Lord will be with you on your way. Oh, thanks. Then the 5 men departed, and they came to Laish, which is in northern Palestine near the source of the Jordan River. And they saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless, after the manner of the Zidonians, kind of like the people who lived in Tibet at one time. Quiet and secure, communist China won't attack us. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man, no commerce. And there came unto their brethren, to Zorah and Eshtol, and their brethren said unto them, "What saith you?" And they said, "Let's go! Arise, that we may go up against these people. We have seen the land, and it's very good. And are you still? Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land. When you go, you shall come unto a people secure, and to a large land, for God has given it into your hands." I mean, they're expecting that the blessing from that Levite was dead on. And they're thinking, here's an answer to our prayer. A place where there's no want of anything that's in the earth. And there went from thence of the family of the Danites, out of Zorah and out of Eshtol, 600 men appointed with weapons of war. They went up and they pitched in, killed Jabjarim in Judah. And wherefore they called that place, they didn't like Kid Jabjarim, they had to call it Manhattan Dan. Unto this day. Anyway, and they passed thence unto Mount Ephraim, and they came to the house of Micah. Then answered the 5 men that went to spy out the country of Laish, and said unto their brother, "In that house over there, there's an ephod, a teraphim, a graven image, and a molten image. Now, therefore, consider what you have to do." And they turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and they saluted him. And the 600 men, appointed with their weapons of war, were which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. It's one of those old westerns, you know, they'll come up on their horses and they got to go, they surround the place, 600 of them. Okay, it's not a western, it's an eastern. And the five men that went to spy out the land went up, came in thither, and guess what they did? They took the graven image of the ephod, the terror from the molten image. And the priest, you know, the Levite, stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. And these went into Micah's house. They went into his little chapel, the five of them. And they fetched the carved image, which would have been of wood, the ephod, which would have been made out part of a priestly garment, the teraphim, and then a molten image, which would have been made of metal. Then said the priest unto them, "What are you doing?" And they said unto him, "Shut up. Hold your peace. Lay thy hand upon thy mouth and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel?" Are you starting to see the Danites sinking lower and lower and lower? All right. Micah had hired the Levite, but when the children of Dan offered him a greater sphere of influence, there was no loyalty, so he went with them. All right, chapter, Judges 18, 20 to 28, Jack.
And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image, and went in the midst, the center of attention, of the people of the children of Dan. So they turned and departed, and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Michael, "What aileth thee, that thou comest with such a company?" And he said, "Ye have taken away my gods which I made, and the priest, and are gone away. And what have I more? And what is this that they say unto me, 'What aileth thee?'" And the children of Dan said unto him, "Let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household." And the children of Dan went their way, and when Michael saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back unto his house. And they took the things which Micah had made, and the priest which he had, and came unto Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and secure. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and burnt the city with fire. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth by Beth-Rehob, and they built a city and dwelt therein.
The Danites left Micah's area and went north to conquer the land in the valley of Beth-Rehob. And they built a city. And verse 29, and they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born into Israel. Howbeit the name of the city was Laish at the first. And the children of Dan set up graven image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh. The text reads the son of Moses. But King James, the guy who did the translation, didn't want to embarrass Moses. So he changed it to Manasseh. But it's Moses. And he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So this wasn't just an overnight idolatrous. This was many years. The Danites took Micah's idols with them as they traveled north, and they rebuilt the city of Laish and renamed it Dan. They left the area of their inheritance, which had been given unto them by Lot, and that Lot was by Urim and Thurim. It was by God saying, "These areas are yours." And they took a different area of the promised land. There they built a sanctuary to their God, and in that sanctuary they put all their idols. The worship of Micah's idols was the basis on which the tribe of Dan established itself in northern Palestine. It's interesting that when Jehoshaphat set up the two golden calves, he set one up in Dan later on, when at the divided kingdom.
Jeroboam.
Right. Because it was already primed perfectly for it. Verse 31, again, and they set them up in Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. So the house of God, which is the tabernacle of Moses, it was in Shiloh. They had their graven image set up to go as a counterfeit worship. The house of God of Jehovah, the covenant God, was in Shiloh, which was just a few miles north of Jerusalem. through the reign of King David. Thus, the tribe of Dan worshipped Micah's idols for about 400 years, several generations. Deuteronomy 29 clearly states what would happen to those who turned away from the Lord God. The individual or family or tribe would be cut off. Tiffany, if you could read for us Deuteronomy 29, 18 to 21.
Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke, increase furiously against that man. And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law.
That's pretty, sounds like God knew what he was saying here, huh? God had said unequivocally that his people were not to serve any other gods. This was his very first rule, and Micah blatantly broke that commandment. Then the entire tribe of Dan stole Micah's idols and worshipped and clung to them for many, many years. They served other gods, not the one true God. They forsook the commandments of God. This is why the tribe of Dan is omitted in the sealings recorded in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. There's a great overview of this time period given by Nehemiah to the children of Israel shortly after the return to the promised land. Nehemiah 9, 21. Chris, if you could do 21 to 31 there for us, please.
Yea, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners, so they possessed the land of Shidon, and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also multipliedst thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land, concerning which thou hadst promised to their fathers, that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat, and were filled, and became fat, and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient, and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets, which testified against them to turn to thee. And they brought great provocations. Therefore thou didst deliver them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them. In the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hands of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and testifiedest against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou forbear them, testified against them by thy spirit in thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God.
It's a great overview. That's pretty much what happened in the book of Judges, back and forth, back and forth. Judges chapter 19, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel. When a record starts with no central authority being mentioned, the record is not going to be a particularly good account that glorifies the true God. Since there's no regard to what the true God had said, and there was no government to enforce the laws of the land, it led to spiritual apostasy, a falling away from one's core values. 19:1 again, and it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took them a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. The house of the Lord was neglected at this time, so the Levites were unemployed and wandering about looking for work in the countryside. All right. As you can see, there are Judges 19:2 through 18, and his concubine played the whore against him and went away from him unto his father's house in Bethlehem, Judah. And she was there for 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly, to speak affectionately, or, you know, to talk to her heart, and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. When the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him. And he abode with them 3 days. So they did eat and drink and lodge there. And it came to pass on the 4th day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, "Oh, comfort thy heart with a morsel of bread, and afterwards you can go." And they sat down, and they did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the men, "Be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thy heart be merry." And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him that he lodge there again. So this guy is quite a salesman, this, you know, father. When it says eat and drink, we know that basically they would eat their meal, then they would drink something afterwards. It wasn't they broke out the Budweiser. It was they ate, then they drank. They drank after they were eaten. They didn't drink at the same time. And he rose early in the morning on the 5th day to depart. And the damsel's father said, "Comfort thy heart, I pray thee." And they tarried until afternoon, and they did eat both of them. When the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said to him, "Behold, the day draws toward evening. I pray you, tarry all night. Behold, the day grows to an end. Lodge here, that thy heart be merry. Tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home." But the man would not tarry that night. And he rose up and he departed. Finally, came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. And there were with him 2 asses saddled. His concubine also was with him. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent. And the servant said unto his master, "Come, I pray thee, let us turn into the city of the Jebusites and lodge in it." And as you know, and his master said unto him, "We will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah." And he said unto the servant, "Come, let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night, in Gibeah or in Ramah." And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belonged to Benjamin. And they turned aside thither to go in and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat him down in the street. You know, he didn't sit down in the middle of the highway. You know, there's an open place of the city. And that's where they would go. It'd be like most of the towns have like a city park in the middle. And that's where he would go. "For there was no man that took them into the house to lodging." You know, it talks about how you're supposed to entertain strangers. You know, you're supposed to take in people and take care of them and all that. "And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah. But the men of the place were Benjaminites, so they both were Ephraimites. And when he lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city. And the old man said, "Whither goest thou? Whence comest thou?" And he said unto him, "We are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I, and I went to Bethlehem, Judah. But I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there is no man that receiveth me to house." Now, his direction was taking him, though not to Shiloh, where the true tabernacle was of Moses, but rather he's heading towards Mount Ephraim to Micah's house of the Lord, towards Micah's temple of God, which was widely known. Judges 19:19. But look, there's straw, there's provender for our asses, there's bread, there's wine also for me, for my handmaid, my young man, which is the servants. There's no want of anything. He has everything he needs for himself. His handmaid, his servant, his animals. He's got everything. He would not be burdensome to anyone. He's got everything. Still, though, no one cared enough to offer him the protection he would receive when he was lodged under someone's roof. All right, 20 to 24, Jerry. Now things are going to get foolish.
And the old man said, "Peace be with thee. Howsoever let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street." So he brought him into his house and gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him." And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them, and said unto them, "Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly. Seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing."
Sounds a lot like what happened at Lot's house when the angels visited before the complete destruction of Sodom, recorded in Genesis 19. All right, Richard, 25 to 30.
But the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, "Up, and let us be going." But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. And when he was coming to his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coast of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, "There was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your mind."
All right. Judges 20, verse 1 says, "Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba, with the land of Gilead, unto the Lord of Mizpah." Now, why all this excitement, this unanimity, and bloodshed about an injury to a woman rather than a sense of outrage at the evil of idolatry and sin against the true God, which is rampant in Israel? You don't have to answer that. Judges 20, verse 2. "And the chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen now that drew sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel had gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, 'Tell us, how was this wickedness?' And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, 'I came into Gibeah, that belongs to Benjamin, I and my concubine to lodge, and the men of Gibeah rose against me, beset the house round about upon me by night, and thought to have slain me and my concubine, have they forced that she is dead. I took my concubine, I cut her in pieces, sent her throughout the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Behold, ye are all children of Israel, give here your advice and counsel.' And all the people arose as one man, saying, 'We will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it, and we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 of 10,000 to fetch victual or food for the people that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that was wrought in Israel. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribes of Benjamin, saying, "What wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel." But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brother and the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed, every one that could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. It's like shooting free throws. They could shoot 700 free throws without missing. What happened is they had so trained themselves that they could sling stones. Most of the time it was right-handed. They were so good, they started doing it left-handed so as it would be a greater insult to the enemy to be hit by a stone thrown from the left-handed side. It wasn't good to bat from the left side back then. You were considered something wrong with you if you were left-handed. So they trained themselves not only to throw the sling stones at the right, but to do it left-handed so they could do it either way. Exactly. And they were really good at it. Okay, Tom, if you could read 17 and 18 for us, please.
And the men of Israel, beside Benjamin, were numbered 400,000 men that drew sword. All these were men of war. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, "Which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up first." And they went to Shiloh.
They went to Shiloh, at least, where the tabernacle of Moses was, and they inquired of God regarding how they were to proceed. At least that was a good start. All right, Deborah, if you could read the next section here, verses 19 to 28.
And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. And the men of Israel encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother?" And the Lord said, "Go up against him." And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground the children of Israel again, 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, "Shall I yet again go to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease?" And the Lord said, "Go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand."
Now this is Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, and it's the only time he's mentioned in the book of Judges. He is at Shiloh, and he's using Urim and Thummim to instruct who should do battle. Now, there's a whole different result than when Joshua utilized it, though. And he never lost a man except the son of Achan at the Battle of Ai. All right, 29 through 48. Deborah, you want to continue?
Sure. And Israel set liers in wait round about Gibeah. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in array against Gibeah as at other times. And the children of Benjamin went out against the people and were drawn away from the city. and they began to smite of the people and kill as at other times in the highways, of which one goeth up to the house of God and the other to Gibeah in the field, about 30 men of Israel. And the children of Benjamin said, they are smitten down before us as at the first. But the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them from the city and into the highways. And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place and put themselves in array at Baal Tamar. And the liers in wait of Israel came forth out of their places, even out of the meadows of Gibeah. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men of all Israel, out of all Israel, and the battle was sore, but they knew not that evil was near them.
Good. We'll let Andrew continue.
The Lord smote Benjamin for Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjaminites that day were 25,100 men. All these drew the sword. So the children of Benjamin saw that they were smitten, for the men of Israel gave place to the Benjaminites, because they trusted them to their liers in wait, which they had set beside Gilbath. And the liers in wait hasted, and rushed upon Gilbath, and the liers in wait drew themselves along, and smote all the city with the edge of the sword. Now there was an appointed sign between the men of Israel and the liers in wait, that they should make a great flame of smoke rise up out of the city. When the men of Israel retired in the battle, Benjamin began to smite and kill of the men of Israel about 30 persons, for they said, surely they are smitten down before us as in the first battle. And when the flame began to rise up out of the city with a pillar of smoke, the Benjaminites looked behind them, and behold, the flame of the city ascended up to heaven. And when the men of Israel turned again, the men of Benjamin were amazed, for they saw that evil had come upon them. Therefore they turned their backs before the men of Israel unto the way of the wilderness, but the battle overtook them, and them which they came out of the cities were they destroyed in the midst of them. Thus they enclosed the Benjaminites round about, and chased them, and trod them down with ease over against Gilbath towards the sun rising. And there fell of Benjamin 18,000 men, all these were men of valor. And they turned and fled towards the wilderness unto the rock of Rimmon, and they gleaned of them in the highway 5,000 men, and pursued hard after them unto Gidom, and slew 2,000 men of them. So that all which fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men that drew the sword. All of these were men of valor. But 600 men turned and fled into the wilderness into the rock of Rimmon, and abode in the rock of Rimmon 4 months. And the men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin, and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well as the men of every city, as the beasts and all that came to hand. Also they set on fire all the cities that they came to.
Well, if you're scoring at home, it doesn't look good for Benjamin now. You got 25,000 that are gone and 600 hiding out in Rock Rimmon. Now the men of Israel had sworn before the fighting in Mizpah, saying, there shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife. And the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices, and they wept sore. And they said, O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? And it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early, built there an altar, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. It's interesting that if you study the battles in the Old Testament, the different tactics that they used, there's some great, great learning. And the children of Israel who is there, and the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation to the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. So they started asking around, who's not here? Bobby's not here. Okay. That's it. And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother, and said, there's one tribe cut off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to wives? We had a major problem here. And they said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not to Mizpah to the Lord? That's right. And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh Gilead Babi to the assembly. For the people were numbered, and behold, there was none of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead there. Bad time to sit this one out. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, "Go smite the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing that ye shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man." And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male. And they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. The whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon, and to call peaceably upon them. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave their wives, and they gave them wives, which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh Gilead, and yet so they sufficed them not. So 600 of them lived, they're hiding in the caves in Rock Rimmon, in that area, and their countrymen show up and say, "Come here, we've got wives for you." All right. And the people repented them for Benjamin, because of that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, "How shall we do for wives of them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin?" And they said, "There must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel had sworn, saying, 'Cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin.'" So we got a serious problem here. We can't just free all the aliens. No. Then they said, "Behold, there's a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Lebanon." Wait a minute. There is a yearly feast. According to Leviticus 23, there were to be three feasts to the Lord yearly, right? There was to be Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. All the males of a certain age were to attend and bring of their bounty that the Lord had blessed them with to sacrifice unto God. And why does he have to give directions to them as to where the true house of God was? No wonder there was such an apostasy throughout all the land. They don't even know where they're supposed to worship, let alone how many times a year they're supposed to be going. Judges 21, 20, and 21. Jack?
"Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, 'Go and lie in wait in the vineyards, and see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, then come ye out of the vineyards, and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin.'"
Okay, I give up. What is the dance and dances? This is what religious worship had come to in those days. Somehow I don't read that in Levitical law. Well, we're going to have the dance of dances. "And it shall be, when their fathers or their brethren come out to complain, you just stole my daughter, that we will say unto them, 'Oh, be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war. For you did not give unto them at that time, that you should be guilty.'" Because you didn't do it freely, it's okay. This is how we'll get by it. By losing your daughters this way, you will incur no guilt, since you did not give them your daughters willingly, so as to break the vow." And the children of Benjamin did so, and they took them wives, according to their number of them that danced, whom they caught, and they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired the cities and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe, everybody to their family, and they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. And in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes.